Well, it's always a privilege to teach God's word, to be here with you. And I trust that your hearts are open to receive, that you push the pause button and let everything slow down a little bit and realize that it's all still going to be there when you finish here today. I'd like to visit with you from God's word regarding one of the most serious impediments to someone walking into God's abundance and power in his or her life. Rarely does a day go by where I don't hear the phrase, "If it's God's will, then it will happen. If it doesn't happen, then it wasn't God's will." I used to literally seize up when I'd hear this, but I'm a lot better now. My mind still goes into a tailspin, but I try not to show it. What does someone mean when he says this, and what does the Bible say about it? Ephesians chapter 5. Now, don't get me wrong. I've got dear friends that use this phrase proliferously. And honestly, it's a person's business what they say and what they believe. And I just let them do it. I still love them. Okay? But I also feel obligated to know what God's word says about a subject like that so that I know what I can and can't teach regarding that subject. Because I only want to teach what the Bible says. Ephesians 5 verse 15. "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." So we're going to learn a real wise way to think here and walk. "Redeeming the time, because the days are evil." And everybody said, duh. Verse 17, "Wherefore be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Well, it's too bad that God used that word understanding, because now it means that we have to figure it out. Now it means that we've got to do something in our mind to figure out what the will of the Lord is. Clearly, we are to understand what is the will of the Lord. Okay, well, just what is the will of the Lord? The phrase, and here's where we get just a little technical, so hold on, "will of God" is used 23 times in the Bible. Where do we find what is the will of God? Friends, the Bible literally is the word and will of God. It is the only place that you can go to determine God's will for your life. You can't go anywhere else and find it. Well, Romans 12 has something exciting to say about this very subject. Romans 12 and verse 2. "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect," everybody, "will of God." So how do you do it? You renew your mind. You go to the Bible and read it. Pretty simple, huh? Well, you'd think. You learn and apply God's will for your life when you renew your mind to the Bible, to God's word. Ephesians chapter 1. Did you know that Paul received the revelation of God's word? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God." Ponder, by the will of God. That's how he did what he did. "To the saints which are at Ephesus, and to us, the faithful in Christ Jesus, When you read the book of Ephesians, you are reading God's will for you. Well, when you read the other church epistles, you are too, because they're all addressed to you, just like that one was. How exciting. Because we know that the will of God is the Bible. The question then is not, what is the will of God? Rather, where is the will of God? If you are expecting to find God's will in any other place than God's word, you will be sorely disappointed. Sorry, you're not going to find it on Treasure Island. To know the will of God for your life, you must go to the Word of God. You must read the parts of the Bible which are addressed to you. That is exactly where you will find the will of God for your life. Well, why does someone use this phrase at all? If it's God's will, then it'll happen. I can only guess that it's because this is what they were taught, and it sounded pretty good, so they went for it. I can also guess that they weren't taught to go to God's word to find His will. If you use this phrase to defend the many disappointments in your life, you are limiting God. If you know the will of God concerning any specific subject, and you seek God's deliverance and manifestation of His word on this subject, and then it immediately doesn't come to pass, does this render God's will null and void? Does this boldly commit you to a life of lack and despair? Hardly. Not at all. But it does make a statement about your ability to persevere and to believe God's word. For the word says that all things are possible to him who believes. Believing is the key to receiving anything from God. Ephesians chapter 6. Did you know that doing and seeing God's will in your life is a matter of the heart? Ephesians 6, verse 6. Not with eye service, as men pleasers, oh no, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. This heartfelt way of life is far deeper than random thinking and feelings. It involves a careful planting, watering, finally harvesting of the very seeds of life. For the word says, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. It says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Let the Bible's playground become your heart. Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. How exciting. If you don't know what to pray for, but you want to pray for somebody, pray that they're perfect and complete in all the will of God. I'd say that about captures everything. But we have kept ourselves for the word. Have you ever thought about that? the Word, since we've known it, has been one of our passionate life's quests to stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. This whole thing about learning God's will, this whole thing about standing perfect and complete. And that's why I say we have kept ourselves. We've kept ourselves. We've reserved ourselves for the Word. When you were a little kid running around the block, going down and watching the ladies wash the clothes in the river, and watching Mama cook food, and learning how to vacuum, and then going to school and learning how to read and write, and then hanging out with friends and learning, well, there's some things I probably wouldn't want to do in life. Maybe even tried some of those things, but you made some decisions. Ultimately, you've kept yourself. And you probably wondered, why am I like this and they're like that? Because I really couldn't be like that. Because this is the way I am. And I can't seem to change. You've kept yourself so that you could stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Interesting, isn't it? I think it's really something. Because even before you knew God, God knew you. Even before you chose His way, He chose you. Even before you had any idea of your destiny, He predestined you. I wonder what bearing those things had on you as a toddler. As a little tiny kid running to school. As a bigger kid making decisions that were kind of scary. As an even bigger person making choices that ultimately directed your life's path. I just wonder. I'd say that it had great bearing.
I would.
We deserve to know God's will for our lives. We deserve it. We have kept ourselves from the world, in the midst of the world, and we deserve to know God's will. We deserve to search it out. You want to know something? I don't know how special you feel, but we deserve each other. Because each of us has hoed that row of life and kept the weeds out and planted the seeds and watered and looked for the harvest. We've walked the paths of life that many others have too, but with our own choices. And we've ended up where we are today because of our believing. We deserve to know God's will, but we deserve each other because each of us has kept each of ourselves from the world. Do you realize how special that is? It's amazing. When you run across somebody in life that has done the same, the first thing you do is get excited. You really do. When you find somebody like that, you feel like you belong. That's what marriages are like. I wouldn't want to marry somebody that didn't do that. Would you? I wouldn't want to make friends with somebody who doesn't do that. Maybe I'll make kind of friends, but it only ever goes so far. Because that thing gets in the way. That keeping thing. Hebrews 10. When you uncover the many aspects of God's will, just have patience while you wait for it to come to pass. That's all I ask. Go into the Word, uncover them, and then have patience. Hebrews 10, verse 36. But ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Okay? Patience is critical here. No matter what you go through as you wait for the promises to come to pass, commit the keeping of your soul to God. 1 Peter chapter 4. There's these little things in the Bible that teach you how to manage this heartfelt way of life. And we have no reason to not want to get better at this. 1 Peter 4, verse 19, wherefore, let them that suffer. Now, you know what the word suffer means? It means to endure. It's not necessarily negative, but it just looks negative because that's how we think it. But wherefore, let them that endure life according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful creator. So that's a mission in life. You just keep it on the right way. It doesn't matter what comes across your path, and trust me, there's going to be things that just lay themselves out for you. But you keeping on, like it says there. Commit the keeping of your souls. And I find it interesting that it says souls, because that's the base of your emotional life. And if there's one thing the adversary would just love to mess with, it's your feelings. So you commit the keeping of your souls, your life, your feelings to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. And trust me, he'll take care of you. He will take care of you faithfully as the many dynamics of his manifested word in your life fall into place. And trust me, there's many dynamics involved. You might only be asking for one thing, but that might take 1,000 things to get that one thing. It's amazing what God has to do for you. So trust him. He'll take care of you. In no case, this is an interesting little fact, is any biblical usage of the phrase will of God used to limit the reception of any aspect of the more than abundant life and the varied promises of God. You'll never find the phrase will of God used in the Bible to limit God's promises. Be careful how you use this phrase. You don't want to mislead you and others through a lifetime of lack and eventual regret. Well, what are some of God's wills for your life? How about health and prosperity? 1 John 2. Now, you know this one. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Well, now you know God's will for health and prosperity, so you might as well write that down on the list and expect it to happen. Mm-hmm. I like this one. Paul talked about this in Romans chapter 1, verse 10. Prosperous travel. Romans 1, 10. Making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. You know, Paul had an interesting situation in his life. He was bound in the spirit to go to Jerusalem. And there's this old famous phrase, if the will of God be so. And so I think that people think that they can use that phrase, will of God, however they want. But Paul was wrong to go to Jerusalem because the Bible says he was bound in the spirit. He was wrong to go to Jerusalem because there were several times when people deliberately intervened to stop him. And I have a whole teaching on that. That's really something. But in this case, he was right. Romans 1:10. Making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. And God will prosper your journeys too. How about peace? Philippians 4. We all want more peace in our lives. Keep that soul tamed. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Is it God's will that you have peace? Okay. So you can use will of God and peace together anytime you want, and I won't seize up on you. How about Romans 5? Saved from the wrath. How many people do you know who are expecting to go through the wrath? Most Christians are taught that. They're taught the rapture and the wrathture. They're going to get raptured and wrathed all at the same time. Huh? I just can't go with that, sorry. Well, the Bible doesn't teach it anyway, but save from the wrath in Romans 5, 9, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Period. How about Romans 8? We're forever part of God's family. Oh, wait a minute, Jerry. You have no idea what I did in my past, and I don't think God could forgive me. Well, baloney on that. My dad used to eat baloney. He used to talk about when he'd work out in the fields, he'd take a big old thing of bologna and an onion. He'd make a big slice of onion and a slice of bologna, and that was his lunch. I don't think I'd like that. I don't like bologna, but I do like using the word if you're going to say something like that to me. Because once you're born again, you're in. All right? Romans 8:39. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creation shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So you come up with one thing that's going to separate you from God. Just one. But before you do, read that verse. Before, and then read it after you say whatever you're going to say. And we'll see which one lasts the longest. How about Psalm 21, to be exceeding glad? These are just some promises. These are just some wills of God for you. How many can you find this week? I'd like you to try that. Why don't you take the Bible this week and look for 5 or 10 different ones than these? What kind of will of God's will, gods of will, wills of God, wills? Yeah, that's a weird phrase, isn't it? Wills of God. Somebody has to come up with a more scientific approach to this, otherwise I'm going to get kicked out of here. But come up with some wills, okay? And then start to apply that to your life. Make it happen. Psalm 21:6, for thou hast made him most blessed forever. Thou hast made him exceeding glad with thy countenance. Who wouldn't want to be exceeding glad? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Okay, I want to raise your hands. Who wants to be glorified after this life? Everybody? Yes, okay, good. We had one in the corner. Come on out of that corner. We all want to be glorified after this life. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17. For our light affliction, and if you're wondering, that's talking about mental pressure, which is but for a moment, doesn't feel like it, does it sometimes, but it is, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. How many of you are going through things today that really seem too heavy? Do you know that they still fit under this light affliction category? That's only for a moment. Wow, isn't that something? That's God's perspective. One day, you're going to be glorified. One day, you're going to experience this exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And it's not going to go away. It's going to be wonderful. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. How bizarre would it be to have mental pressure and joy at the same time? I can't imagine it. I'm confused. You sure you know what you're talking about? Well, let's read it. Okay. 2 Corinthians 7:4. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. Whoa. And if you just wanted to know, tribulation means mental pressure. And so he says, I am exceeding joyful in all our mental pressures. It's possible. That is the will of God. That is something that you could actually bring to pass in your life. Wow, that's amazing. Not to be outdone, in 1 Peter chapter 4, we see again exceeding joy. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 13, but rejoice. 1 Peter 4:13. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. It's going to happen. And you have no idea what that's really going to be like. I guarantee you. You know, you might be saying, oh, have you ever gone to something and you just said, oh, please, let's just get this over with, even though it was a good thing. But you just didn't have the patience inside and you're just going crazy thinking, oh my gosh, I can't tolerate this. I'd rather just go to sleep right now or just disappear right now. Even though this is a good place to be, there's nothing wrong here. And you're just fighting this thing inside where you can't calm down, you can't slow down, you can't enjoy, you don't have any joy. I guarantee you that when this glory shall be revealed, you are going to have exceeding joy. You are not going to be able to postpone it. You're not going to be able to check out for a while. It's just going to happen. And all too often, because of the pressures of this world, we get talked out of some of the greatness of the things that are going to happen. But they're all going to happen, the good things. These things that we're reading. We are partakers of Christ's sufferings. We're born again. And when his glory shall be revealed, we may be glad also with exceeding joy. How about to see God's exceeding greatness of his power, the exceeding greatness of his power, back in Ephesians chapter 1. Did you have any idea there were so many wills of God for you? Ephesians 1 verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? According to the working of your mighty power? No. His mighty power. So all this is based on God. It's a good thing. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? Well, I'd recommend trying it out. Why don't you try to bring God's power into your life? Let it happen. Just believe. Believe in it. And it'll happen. Do you feel like a little kid now? Going off to some, what was it, Peter Pan? Just believe. But you have to be a kid. Or whatever it was. Hey, just be a child of God and believe. It'll work. See, they never quite got to the word of God in Peter Pan, but I think they kind of had the concept down. Well, I don't know. Anyway, you figure that out. But you're a child of God. You believe. And enjoy yourself while you're believing. If you get all uptight and you're all concerned and you're all worried, it's just going to make for a miserable time. I was talking to a friend of mine. It was so fun the other day. And he was telling me about job possibilities. And this guy's like this big teddy bear, you know. And And just a great guy. But man, as he kept talking, I realized, oh my gosh, this guy's worrying. And so I just walked up to him and I said, hey, I put my mouth real close to his ear. So he had to lean over because it was like I was going to tell him a secret. And I said, you're worrying. For those on the phone line, I said, you're worrying, but I whispered it. You're worrying. You're worrying. And he goes, you're right. I said, stop worrying. It's all going to work out. And he got so happy. Now, can you imagine a happy teddy bear? How about Ephesians chapter 2? To see the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness. Ephesians chapter 2, actually, he was an excited teddy bear. He gave me a big bear hug. It was huge. Okay, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. The exceeding riches of his grace. In the ages to come, we're going to see that. That's his will. Oh, Jerry, wait a minute. I feel a little miserable. This life, how could something that great come later when I really don't feel good in this life? Why would something be better for me? I haven't done anything significant. If I look back behind me, I don't really see any legacy. Why would something so phenomenal be waiting for me? Because it's God's will. Now, you could talk yourself out of it, but you're not going to stop it. And this is what people do. They talk themselves out of realizing, walking into the reality today of God's promises. It's because they think that they're not good enough. They don't deserve it. They have to live a such and such way, more or less religion. And they don't have the right to be excited and passionate about the wonderful promises of God. Why? I don't know. I suppose that they just never got around to reading the Bible, especially the parts addressed to them. Sound familiar? So that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us. I didn't know God was kind, but I thought that he's the one that causes all the floods and all the sicknesses and all the deaths and all the... Whoa, 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 whoa. You need to go to the Bible if you think that kind of stuff. And you better prove what you're saying chapter and verse. Then maybe we could discuss this a little further. Really something. God's kind. How about Ephesians chapter 3? To receive from God exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Now unto him, verse 20, that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Jerry, you've gone too far. I don't get this at all. How could you say that I can have something like exceeding abundantly above all that I could ask or think? I can't even think happy thoughts some days. Some days my life's so miserable I can't think happy thoughts. I feel miserable for days on end. Do you even understand life, Jerry? You're telling me this kind of stuff, talking about will of God, blah, blah, blah. And I sit over here and I feel this way. Oh. Just because you feel this way, does that mean that the Bible is null and void? Are you cutting it up with your mythical penknife? I saw somebody did that. They had some kind of Bible tearing ceremony. It's like, okay, so I still got my Bible. Plus, you can't undo it from eternity anyway. Ha, ha, ha. But what do you do to God's word? What do you do to the will of God? When you're in certain situations, i.e. misery, sickness, mental pressure, despair, What do you do to God's will? I recommend that you go to God's Word, learn God's will, renew your mind, in other words, new it up with the new way to be, accept it, apply it, and see it come to pass. Don't get so shocked when you learn that the will of God might be contrary to the will of you and the way you happen to feel that day. And don't let your feelings guide you in your search for the will of God, because your feelings will mislead you. Oh, maybe they might help you a little bit sometimes, but let me tell you something. You can only find God's will in God's Word. You can't find it anywhere else. Remember, the question isn't what is the will of God, but it's where is the will of God? We know the will of God is the Word of God, so we don't have to keep talking about that. But we need to know where. So, in other words, when you're in a situation, you have to ask yourself, where do I find God's will about this? Your specific situation in life. And you go to the Bible, and you find the verses. And then that becomes God's will. But just make sure it's addressed to you, because there's a lot of the Bible that's not. So I think Ephesians 3:20 just about covers everything. It covers jobs, marriages, friendships, money, health, dreams, endless possibilities, all your mighty ventures out into life. The list could go on forever. What does your list look like? You know, when you write your goal list, and we practice this, you guys all have your goal lists, what you want to be, your positive affirmations and all. Had you taken the time to write the verse out to the side of each one that says, yes, this is the will of God? You just write it out to each one? Interesting thought. 2 Peter chapter 1. You'll love this one. 2 Peter chapter 1 teaches us more about where. Verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. What? That's just like inventing the light bulb. I have a light bulb and nobody else has it. Whoa, I've got a light bulb that everybody else in the whole world's going to use. But they just don't know that yet. I've got an answer to the world's problems. And they have no idea that that answer is so forthcoming. But I've got it right here in my hand. Now, if I was the inventor of the light bulb, I could say that. But what did I just read? According as his divine power hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Well, if that doesn't get my attention, I don't know what will. Because what's going to follow is the where part. Where do I find this thing that he's given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness? Then it says, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. So if we want the all things that pertain unto life and godliness, we have to go to the knowledge of him. Now, where is the knowledge of God? The Bible? Isn't the Quran? What? No. The Bible. You meant to say the Bible, right? Oh, sorry. Oh, you'll hear that one. The Book of Mormons? The Sunday Missal? Oh, my gosh. You mean there's other things out there that people say are God's Word? Yes. But there's only one for you, right? The Bible. That's right. The Word of God is the will of God. Oh, man. So it's through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. That's where you find these all things. All things, knowledge of him. All things, knowledge of him. All things, knowledge of him. That simple. Whereby, verse 4, are given unto us exceeding... Jerry, I thought that was all there was to it. There's more? This is really getting exciting. This is like building a momentum. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. You mean all things, knowledge of him, exceeding great and precious promises, all go together? That's like me inventing a light bulb that the world doesn't know about yet, and it's going to deliver everybody from darkness. Oh, how exciting! I'm thrilled! Aren't you? Yes, all things, knowledge of him, exceeding great and precious promises. Those are the keys to life, my friends. This is how you do it. Wake yourself up. Get excited. Get passionate about your dreams, about your desires, about your ventures in life, and don't let anybody stop you. If anybody ever talks you out of anything that you want to do, it will only be you. It will never be another person. It will only be you. All things, knowledge of him, exceeding great and precious promises. That's not all. There's more. That by these, all things, knowledge of him, exceeding great and precious promises, that by these, you might be partakers of the divine nature. You're going to literally radiate with divinity. God's divine blessings are going to ooze from your soul, from your cells, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust over desire. Oh my goodness. God has given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, which allow us to be partakers of his divine nature. The only way to find out about these is through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. How many of his promises do you know? How much of his word have you learned, renewed your mind to? Jude 24. I suppose the small and the short of it, the end of the matter, is joy. Wouldn't that three-letter word just about sum up every man, every woman's desire in life? Joy. Maybe even the communists want joy. But they've walked so far away from it, they probably don't even know it exists. But think about it for a minute. One three-letter word that sums up your life's dreams, that sums up your goals in life. Can you come up with another word? And it can't be more than three letters. Just kidding. Well, I think joy is it. And Jude 24 tells us, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. How many of you feel like you're in a free fall every once in a while? Mm-hmm. Or are you one of those kind of people that have been taught to hide everything? Don't let your true feelings out. Certainly don't let anybody know that you're suffering. And certainly pretend that, well, you've never even experienced a tribulation in life. A mental pressure. I think that everybody falls once in a while. But the Bible says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. The closer you are to God, understanding his promises, the less opportunity you're going to have to fall. And to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. You have nothing to fear in the hereafter. You have nothing to fear in the times to come. Because you will be so filled with exceeding joy that you won't even remember this stuff you went through in this life. Especially the misery. God is in the business of taking care of you. Are you in the business of determining his will for you through his word? Before you again use the phrase, if it's God's will, make sure that you can first quote the verse applicable to your immediate situation in life. Then quote the verse, the one that is addressed to you, that is, as his will. Then pray and patiently wait for it to come to pass. Thank you.